Okay, let's get down to business.
Okay.
Live center stage on February the 25th of 1997 at 9:15 of your time. And first of all, I'd like to say to Russ, it's early, but happy birthday.
Thank you, my dear. That's right. Yeah, we're not going to be able to see you until next week. So this is the first time I get to talk to you about it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, my dear.
And how old are you going to be again?
I'm here at 37.
I'm here at 37.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not even half Kara's age.
No? Okay. So what can we do for you tonight, Bob?
Now you remember
that
I was on the webpage last night.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, you know, now become the Hades Biz webpage as part of just my webpage of Hades Biz.
Mm-hmm.
People have gotten, I guess, hearing about us.
Mm-hmm. The official voice piece of Hades Biz.
Yeah. Because I looked around, nobody else does Hades Biz up there on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, well, or fortunately, it looks like your predictions might be coming true. Another one.
Yeah, switch one.
This is the one on meeting the web pages and stuff. We'll be more into computer.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I was approached today about doing a web page.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so anyway, that prediction came true.
Of course.
So, what's the news for next week?
Okay, news for next week. Oh, for the Hades Biz news?
Right.
I don't have anything at the moment. You haven't asked me to do anything for you. Ski Mountain will be closed next Sunday for a whole entire week. Team arrives next week. First team shows up on Monday.
Okay.
And that's from Sirius Base. Centauri Base shows up on Tuesday. Races start on Wednesday.
Are they going to get a chance to check up the course and try it out at all?
Well, there would be, yeah, preliminaries and everything.
Is that elimination thing?
No, just preliminary races.
Oh, just to get used to the course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then in the afternoon of Wednesday, the races for the slalom starts. And there's also the first heats of the biathlon start, individual biathlons, which they changed on us at the last moment. But it's individual and team.
Does that help you guys at all?
No, not really. In fact, it hinders us more than anything else.
Oh.
On Thursday, we've got the downhill and the team biathlon. Friday, we have the Super G. We have demonstration of snowboarding.
What do you think of the demo, right?
Yes.
Good.
Okay. On Saturday, we have giant slalom. Did I just cover that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Super G?
No, Super G.
Super G.
And then we have the giant slalom, which is different to Super G. And then on Sunday, we have the closing ceremonies and the Champions Cup, which is a new thing that they've done on us as well.
What's that?
Well, basically, that's kind of... it's more of an Iron Person test. Top part of the deck, it uses the whole entire downhill course, starts off as a Super G, then turns into a giant slalom, and finally ends up as a slalom. And anybody can enter that. Anybody on the base.
That could get tricky, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be very difficult to win that one.
Well, we're opening that up to the first 40 people. And that is basically for fun. So we'll have, you know, members from their teams and our teams competing in that just for fun. It's a fun thing, and everybody walks away with a prize for competing. which basically is a crystal goblet that has a cut image of the mountain and Hades face underneath it. And then the winners, the three fastest people, pick up a gold that is mounted on a crystal stand. Again, with actually, it's more of a mountain shape with the gold mounted on it. And then a bronze and a silver of the same stuff.
Not very nice. Mm-hmm. Sounds going to be very enjoyable too.
Yeah, they're making us work harder.
Well, yeah. And then I want to put into the webpage, of course, those actually how the team competitions go between the bases.
Mm-hmm. And the individual results.
Well, trying to get individual results can be a little difficult. You know, I'm trying to spell the names of people
we'll
from
take
all
care
three
of that.
Bases.
We'll take care of that.
All right. You can give me the spelling, but I'll figure it out.
We'll have Mark channel on the computer.
Oh, okay.
And Kiri and myself will do the channeling and we'll type in and send you the mail.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get the results. I'll post it on the webpage.
Okay. Do you want to enter, yeah. Bob? Have you in the biathlon?
What is it?
This is from the starts...
Week from Saturday?
Yeah, week from Saturday. Teams arrive on Monday and Tuesday, and then we start the preliminaries on Wednesday, and then we go through the whole entire schedule up until Sunday.
Is this a ball?
Hades base. Up here.
So you give me a Hades base. Yeah, I was setting shit down. Thank you. You don't mind going up for a couple of weeks, right?
In honesty, if we really could get you up here, I think you'd fight some very good competition.
They use a laser rifle.
Well, if you see a white light overhead, don't panic, okay? I can't, I'm joking.
He needs a break now before he goes off to Idaho anyway, to Colorado.
Mm-hmm. It would be fun to have you up here. You'll be able to report back and tell everybody that it's for real. You'll be able to tell them that you've been there. And we'll give you a souvenir.
Now, I would be seriously envious.
I can't. I wish I could.
Oh, man. I'd just go up just
fun. Hey, we'd have you guys up here. We'd take everybody from the house up here for 2 weeks and give you...
2 weeks, 2 minutes.
Give you guys complete workout. Have you participate in some of the sporting events up here? Have you guys compete in the track and field event?
Yeah, that'd be a joke.
Mm-hmm. There's mountaineering. You can do whatever you want: surfing, swimming, windsurfing, sailing.
All the women are taller than you. Yeah, they're gorgeous. They're also going to stay permanent.
Mm-hmm. Permanent residents. We give you the computer network link to where you don't mind using a computer that only has maybe 20 or 30 gig of RAM.
Yeah, you would that'd be a nice job change for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a life change here. That's quite a little bit more than you, I think, you expect, though.
I wish we could. I really wish we could. We could do with more airplanes up here. But as for being surrounded by tall women, hey, I'm only 5'2". Thank you very much, buddy.
You're welcome very much, my darling. You are, of course, the shortest. So.
No, I'm not the shortest.
No, but of your age group,
mm-hmm.
You're the shortest.
Yes. Sheila's only 4'9".
And she's a little younger than you by a bit.
Sheila's quite a bit older than me.
Really?
Mm-hmm. If you take her time in suspended animation of 200 years.
That's true. But she's from Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's different. Better question.
Yeah.
You can't get
the reference.
How do you get the reference?
Astral travel.
I astral travel up there and get solid.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mark does. Though not quite as good as Mark, of course. But, yeah, have trouble with it. Oh, which reminds me.
Yes.
How is Alana's rabbit test?
The rabbit died.
The rabbit died. Alana is pregnant.
Yes.
Oh, great. I have a new child on the way, sort of. Not mine.
Adopted child.
Adopted child, yes. My family had marked it.
Uh-huh.
It's a long story.
Complicated story. Basically, it's for the gene pool.
Right. Well, good. Congratulations on all around, except the fact that, of course, Kara wouldn't want to get pregnant.
And these things happen.
What?
Temperatures gone up. The amount's body temperature is skyrocketing.
Well, what's the monitor say?
It says that his body's at about 98.
That's a little warm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's coming down with something?
He's already down with something, but it's just in the last few minutes it's gone up to 98 and it's still climbing a little bit. Okay, anyway, back to business.
Okay.
As we've ambled around.
No, this all goes on the webpage.
Oh, it does.
All the race stuff, yeah.
Oh, yes, of course.
This all goes in the news section.
Does that go in?
Nah, I can't spell it.
It's P-H-E-E-V.
I just put Via Blows Raspberry in parentheses. That works out just fine. This is stuff that people want to hear about.
Okay. Any more questions, astral travel-wise?
Studying an astral travel book right now.
Oh, no.
I don't have any questions on yet because I haven't gotten through enough of it yet, but I'm going to start working on it.
Any questions, Bob? Not at
this time.
Okay. Well, I suppose I've been put on the next person.
Okay, yeah, because I don't know. We might have to be short, too. We might only have to take the rate if the temperature goes up as warm.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep an eye on it, don't worry.
All right. Meanwhile,
let me put the next person on. Worry about that.
Well, I caught it this time.
Oh, good.
Greetings and felicitations.
Greetings, Omar.
Greetings, young man. Bob, correct?
Sure.
Greetings, Russ. I see we are acting from Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let us proceed.
Okay. Listening to the radio program from Art Bell, and I have a couple of questions concerning that.
Yes.
He had a gentleman on who wrote a book called 55-2000.
Mm-hmm.
Ice, the Great Destructor or something. The Great Disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And according to him, in this book, he predicts that in May 5th, 2000, a major alignment is going to happen in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
This will cause a great pressure being pushed onto the polar ice caps, which will cause them to shift the continents around. And you actually see the stars move, but it's actually you moving.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the proof that he goes through on this, that it happened some 10,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, America shifted south, if I remember right, and Europe switched north.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows the woolly mammoth as being one example of someone who, in a period of 3 days, got taken from a warm, temperate environment into frozen Arctic tundra. And so essentially says that, you know, we're going to see in January of 2000 a big meteor storm, and any plane that you're in is going to become very unstable and lose all its computer guidance system. And then come May, the actual convergence will happen, and of course, Earth as we know it will be vastly, radically changed.
You can put on your webpage, Amol chuckles hysterically.
I shall do so.
okay, let us start with the fact of the
continents shifting. As you are aware, they are constantly moving. A major shift would be a major catastrophic event, which, if it happened 10,000 years ago, there would be evidence all over your planet of a major catastrophic shift. At the time when this supposedly happened, the Egyptians were just starting to develop their society. The Chinese were just starting to develop their society. Would this not have stunted or even destroyed the development of these societies?
Yeah, that would definitely put a crap in their style.
Would they not have recorded them even in picture, hieroglyphic form, or pieces of art? Would there be not evidence of mass extinction, mass destruction?
Now, didn't Atlantis go down about 10,000 years ago?
Atlantis was a little bit before that. Okay. If we keep on trying to state, it was 10,000 B.C.
Oh, which means 10,000 years ago.
Correct.
8,000.
Correct.
Because I was trying to put the fact, well, Atlantis went down because of the changes in the crust beneath it. This would be a good reason for that to happen.
Correct. But it is not the case. There is a 2,000 year difference. Correct. In 2,000 years, a lot happens.
Now, what if, say, for example, I may be misheard, and it actually was 10,000 that this happened.
Then it would still bear no relevance as this event never happened.
Well, that is
what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Let us look at the move in 3 days from a temperate climate to an Arctic climate. Again, you would see mass areas with massive bodies of woolly mammoths, unable to find food, they would starve. It is very rare that you find more than two animals in the same place in a fossilized form.
So the woolly mammoths that did starve managed to make it further north and were basically solitary creatures anyway.
Correct.
Now, one of the things the other proof he tried to put out is that a sailing captain that Plato ran across had a map from the Library of Alexandria that I guess it still exists today. And it shows the southern South Pole without any ice on it. You know, its topography and everything being rivers and everything flowing, and then sound or radar sample they've taken of the South Pole confirmed that the map was correct, even though that there's some 3 miles of ice over that particular land that was mapped.
At one time, Antarctica had forests. It had abundant wildlife. Most certainly. But that is more along the lines of, I should estimate, 15 to 20 million years ago.
Where were the polar caps at that point?
Exactly where they are at present. However, continental drift, as opposed to sudden, sharp changes, I should estimate it is more like 80 to 100 million years.
So they're now at the present position, buried in ice.
Correct. Another way to look at it, if you take continental drift into consideration, let us take the most famous piece of moving land, that moves approximately an inch to 6 inches a year. The San Andreas fault line on the Pacific plate.
Right.
Okay. Let us look at that. If you have a house and it is on the Pacific side of the San Andreas fault, let us say we put it at the Point Reyes area.
Okay.
You have a house. 10,000 years from now, you will have a nice property in Oregon.
In 10 years?
10,000. Nice property in Oregon. That gives you a rough idea of continental drift.
Okay, that makes sense.
If it survives for 10,000 years in that environment.
Right. So, basically, with this alignment of stars, it's happened before, obviously.
Yes.
Or planets, I should say. I'm saying stars, planets. Any major changes in the time that's happened in previous times?
There are certain events that occur. The gravitational pull of the alignment of planets has effects. If you have the moon Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn align, that is going to have some gravitational pull on your planet. That would be self-evident.
Right.
With your planet in the middle and the outer planets having their gravitational pull that would affect your planet. But the gravitational field of your star is much greater than the combined gravitational masses of all of your planets. Much greater. So therefore, it would affect the weather, most certainly. Your planet would bulge in places by the pull. But it would not be a great catastrophic shift of continental plates. It would not be an accelerated process of continental drift. So therefore, this claim is an erroneous claim. It is a claim of somebody that has information that has accelerated the process phenomenally. Certainly it will cause instability in the atmosphere, which would probably cause flight difficulties, but nothing that would be as disastrous as this gentleman is predicting.
Okay, so no need to go run out and go to some place on the Earth where it's not going to be that.
Somewhere hilly. It's a very similar prediction. And it happens every time somebody says there is going to be an alignment of planets. They predict major changes in the planet's crust, disasters, the sky will fall down and crush people, the sea will rise up to meet the sky, the mountains will descend to become new oceans. All these things are predicted when there is an alignment of planets. It is hogwash.
Art Bell, this program listened to all over the country last time.
Art Bell, yes. We have had reports on this gentleman.
Well, he does a lot for certain aspects of phenomenon, let's say.
But he touches on things that are field of
fancy?
Yes. Flights of fancy would be a better way of putting it.
Correct.
For example, has anybody heard anything more on the Hale-Bopp companion?
I just left on the webpage.
But recently?
His whole page is all devoted to that companion thing. And it's like that satellite object, he's got Farsight reports, he's got some people who say that's the ninth power star has been misidentified as being a companion,
mm-hmm.
which is actually true.
Yes.
But, he's just feeding the controversy, which is how he makes money. It's
correct.
He is Rush Limbaugh all over again. It's entertainment.
Correct.
Now, he did mention on his program that I followed a little bit on the Heart Project.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things about the Heart Project that I'm looking at, that I listened to him on the other night, was the fact that they are going to start broadcasting now, I guess, just this week coming up here, to start doing some low-power testing and working up over a two-year period to 5 billion watts, which is the most anybody's ever pushed into the atmosphere. And so the Heart people in Alaska are giving out the ham frequency ratios or frequencies they're going to be broadcasting on. And for ham operators to record and then send back the observations they pick up all around the world. Your comments on this?
My comments on this are, as I've stated before, you are sending energy to heat up the ionosphere. It may have effect. It may agitate the ozone layer, but it will do no more harm. It may cause a little harm. It may burn a hole in the ozone. So it is difficult to say how it will affect, but we predict that there will not be that much harm. It will be called a success. And to a certain extent, it will be a success. But no more than throwing a piece of paper in the air and watching it float to the ground and saying that it is flying.
Well, in 2 years, who knows if it's still be tested?
Correct.
Okay. I have a question about Bob real quick. He's moving out to the Four Corners area of Colorado. And as we've discussed before, we've had some incidences of
Pink pyramids
in the Four Corners area. I thought you might explain this to Bob a little bit so he'll have a better idea what he's going into.
Okay, there is another group of individuals that do channelings. They are a newly ascended seventh dimension race. They are called Arcturians. The best way to describe them is they are an over-helping race that wants you to be like them. A way to describe them, do you follow your entertainment of Star Trek?
Yeah.
It's hard to describe that they are a collective consciousness that work together almost as one. They wish to bring you up to their level by telling you the lessons instead of you learning them and not learning. They wish you to be like them in almost every aspect, that they will think for you. They will take care of you. They will make sure you have everything that you wish and desire, but you will not learn and you will not be ready to ascend to the seventh dimension without the lessons of the sixth and the third. What they are trying to do is spread their information. And to a certain extent, they are a good and peaceable race. But their purpose is wrong. They do not understand that you have to learn the lessons. You cannot be told the lessons and given all the answers without learning. You have to learn for yourself. Not have it told to you. This is how it is. This is why it is. From that you learn the words, but not the experiences. And by that you do not have your own choice or free will. That is what it basically boils down to, is that the Arcturians want to take away your free will and your choice to learn at your own speed. It is like having a child and giving a child all the information and knowledge that that child needs for its whole entire life, all that it will learn in the space of a few weeks.
So does this group seek out new people from the area, identifying people who are probably in the ascension ladders?
Vibrational frequencies of individuals reflect their evolutionary levels. And also their levels of understanding. Somebody that is gullible, but spiritually conscious and quite evolved on an evolutionary level of the mind is a prime suspect and target for them. Somebody that they will seek out if that person openly wears their spirituality. If the person is circumspect about their spirituality, it is obvious that they are not naive and gullible. So therefore, they will try other deceptive ways. But it depends on the individual and whether it is necessary for them to learn that lesson of being taken in, as it were. And it is advantageous that you are forewarned. You know what to look for. Being approached for your skills and being able to fit in with the spiritual community. However, I get the feeling that recent events that are occurring in that area is making it difficult for them to grow and proceed with their grand pyramid design. After all, it is an expensive project to design a pyramid with pink marble. And the funding seems to be lacking. So therefore, I do not see it as a threat to you, more as a learning experience, which could be very advantageous. Something that you will be able to look at with a good smile and say, that was an interesting and fun experience. Now that you are aware, it is up to you to make a choice of whether you wish to go their route or your own route. We cannot lay down for you how you should proceed. It is the information that we give you is for you to decide to use as you wish. If you wish to follow their path, that is the path that you have decided to follow. And that is what you must learn. If you decide not to follow their path and to watch with amusement, again, that is your path that you wish to learn from. You're welcome. Any more questions on this subject?
It's more of an education. Again, along the lines of
history. I have reason to believe that there is a lot of archaeological interest, especially in the natives that were indigenous to that area. The natives of the hill-dwelling communities. There are certainly lots of architecture within that area that I understand that you would be fascinated with. But remember, when you walk around these areas and you come across a large rock, to look down at your feet and to pick up what you may find, you will understand.
So this has possibly have to do with something of past life that you're talking about.
More than likely, yes. If it is a feeling of I must go there and admire the architecture, then it is quite possible that you were or will be experiencing your past life. I believe that the area was inhabited by a tribe called the Zuni. So therefore, it is possible that you were a member of that tribe. You may have a feeling of contentment, confusion, or numerous other feelings in that area. They may be present feelings, but they could also quite equally be past life experiences of the events that occur. But remember, when you find a large rock near the ruins, look down at your feet and pick up what you may. Next question, please.
Well, when I was in the area, I felt similar as if I had been there in a prior life. But at the same time, it felt like there was lots of ghosts, you might say. Is this just from the religious beliefs of them that kept the spirits in that area? Or is that just the spiritual rituals they did create a lot of energy patterns that hung around?
It is echoes from the past, the energy that they performed, the ceremonies. have a tendency to linger. It is like if you switch off the light, you'll see for a brief second or two, the light will continue to burn, even though there is no power there. When you summon a lot of spiritual and physical energy, things will linger. A great disturbance, the energy will linger and repeat itself from time to time.
Now, one of the things Bob will see out there that he might enjoy or come to enjoy is these deep pits that they make. Yeah, keepers, that's what they're called. And they apparently held many spiritual ceremonies inside of them. But the archaeologists can't really determine the nature of the ceremonies or how they were performed or what were the purpose of them, except for the fact that they were performed there.
And there is a belief of the current indigenous race of that area, I believe they're called Hopi. Yes, that they are descended from the Zuni. They believe that in the circles in the ground, there is another little circle. And they believe that they came from that place, from within the circle, the smaller circle inside the buildings that have sunken into the ground. And that is the passageway from creation to the current world. But it is a symbolic place. The original place is lost in time and memory where it was.
Are you talking about like a doorway?
One second, please. Tia has informed me that Mark has an internet friend that is from New Mexico, I believe, or Arizona area, that is a member of the Hopi tribe that he talks to on the internet. She is suggesting that you may want to contact this individual.
Okay. Excellent. That's the information I hadn't had before. So this echoes of Stargate kind of thing.
No. It is a gateway from their first or second level world to this world. It is where they came up from. The doorway from a flood that they experienced, which forced them up from a lower world to another world, and then there was another flood with water followed them up and into another world. I believe it is a deep, long ago memory that I'm trying to remember. I believe it was maybe four or six worlds that they had to go through before they arrived at this one. And the water followed them up through the entrance way, the gate or portal or doorway, whatever you wish to call it. It is not a trip from one world to another, but from a lower world. A little bit like your myths and legends that you read in your book. Middle Earth, the Fourth Age, the Second Age, the First Age.
And the water followed them. And yet, so where is the symbolism of the water following? Did it stop the water?
I do not recall that story too well. But anytime a dream or a story of Native Americanism